So I got COVID. Well, at least I thought I got COVID. And if you're interested in learning a firsthand account of my experience with COVID, well, that's what we're going to go into today. And you may ask, well, wow, why are you doing that for Real Talk Friday? Isn't it kind of a bit of a downer conversation topic on January 8th? This is the first week of the new year. Well, that's what happened to me. That's why you haven't heard from me in a little while. And I'm going to share that with you today. I'm going to share what my COVID experience was like, some of the things I did to support my immune system, some of the things that I'm going to tell you are evidence-based, and some of the things are just some things that I do that I believe work. So if that's what you're interested in, then this episode, you're going to enjoy it a lot. What is up, my friend? Welcome back to the Legendary Life Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Rice, health expert and coach to entrepreneurs, executives, and other high-performing professionals. And what we say we do here at the Legendary Life Podcast is we break down science-based information on how to lose fat, prevent disease, and live a longer, healthier life, a legendary life, if you will. So if that sounds like something that you're into, hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts. So let's dive into it today. As you may or may not know, I'm in Brasilia, Brazil. That's right. And I'm in Brazil. I was in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. Giselle said, hey, listen, as many of you know, my father died on October 3rd. She said, hey, why don't you come spend the holidays with me in Brazil, with me and my family? It's going to be fun. You're going to be surrounded by people who love and care about you. For those of you who are new to the show, Giselle is my business partner. She's also my ex-wife. We were together for a long time. I love her dearly. And so we're still friends. And she helped me through this whole situation with my dad and this crazy time with the coronavirus. And so I didn't want to be alone. And so she invited me to the city where she grew up, Brasilia. It's actually a state in Brazil. There's many states in Brazil, just like there's many states in the United States. And Brasilia is the capital of Brazil. You may not have heard of it before. You probably heard of Sao Paulo or Rio de Janeiro, but you probably have not heard of Brasilia. It's the capital of Brazil. It's a very nice place. It's a beautiful city. It's kind of like a small town vibe in a big city, if that makes sense. So people are super nice here. It's not Rio. It's not Sao Paulo. It's not a big crazy city with a lot of tourism. So it's been quite the interesting experience. But what happened was we got here on the 23rd, which is the day before Christmas Eve, as you know. And Brazilians, as do many South Americans, as many Catholic countries, they celebrate Christmas Eve. So I got here in order to celebrate Christmas Eve with her family. We took a flight. The flights are terrible now because there's less flights. So we only had the option of taking a red eye flight. So I flew from 11 p.m. at night till like 8 a.m. in the morning. And it was just a tough experience to get from Playa del Carmen to Brasilia. So we had to go to Miami, then take a flight to Sao Paulo. That was 8 hours. And then had to take another 2-hour flight from Sao Paulo to Brasilia. And it was just a madhouse. It was a packed flight. And on the way, either in Mexico or maybe on the flight, I got sick. And so did Giselle. And what ended up happening is I went to Christmas Eve, the Christmas Eve celebration. And what they do is they celebrate, they start opening presents at midnight. So it's a late night. So we stayed up. I stayed up late. I was dying because I got to Brasilia at like 8 a.m. Did not sleep well on that flight, as you might imagine. If you're a person who sleeps well on flights, I hate you. I really don't. I love you. But I'm jealous, certainly, of your ability. I cannot sleep well on flights. My knees are cramped in there. I'm nearly 6 feet, 5'11 and a half. So I don't fit well in those seats, especially to get in a comfortable way. So I did the celebration on Christmas Eve, stayed up later than I wanted, but that's the custom and that's what you do. And then I started feeling on Christmas Day, there was going to be a gathering at Giselle's sister's house with her whole family. My nose started running. I started feeling a little bit down. And so I decided to skip it. And Giselle was feeling fine. She went. And as the day progressed on Christmas Day, I got sicker and sicker. My head started hurting. I had a sinus headache. My eyes started watering. My left eye got super red. And I'm like, fuck, I got sick, you know? And I know why. It was all the stress before. It was all the, you know, the crazy all night long flight. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about how your immune system, the difference between external protection and internal protection. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but I want to finish my story here. So I started feeling sicker and sicker, right? And the head cold progressed to a cough, started coughing stuff up. On Christmas Eve, as soon as I got to Brazil, as soon as I woke up the next day, I went and got tested for COVID and it came back negative. And I got the blood test, as did Giselle. We both came back negative, but we started feeling bad. So I knew I was sick and Giselle started feeling bad too, eventually, although she made it to the Christmas Day celebration. Are you with me so far? And I started feeling worse and worse. That cough started happening and I was doing okay. But I'll tell you, I started getting a little bit concerned because of the cough. So I had some pressure in my chest. I had some anxiety and I felt like my heart was beating faster than usual, which it was. I have an Oura ring, an Oura ring, and it tracks my resting heart rate every night. And I could tell my heart rate was elevated, not by a lot, but by 7-8 beats or so. And my temperature was up, not a lot. I didn't have a fever or anything, but it was elevated. But I had this tightness in my chest. And so fast forward a couple of days, we got tested for COVID again when both of us were sick just a few days ago. No, I'm sorry, probably a week ago now, actually. And Giselle tested, get this. So the first time we had the blood test, this time around, we had the nasal test, the PCR test. And so they stick this thing in your nostrils and both nostrils, and man, it's like your privacy is invaded, like something that should never happen. But we went through the discomfort and Giselle came back positive for COVID. I came back negative, but her symptoms were just a cough and she had very mild symptoms, nothing terrible. I had the more severe symptoms, but mine came back negative and we had spent a lot of time together. And this led to a lot of confusion. It's like, how can we spend so much time together? And Giselle gets COVID, but I get something else like the flu. And fast forward a few days from that, we started freaking out one day. Giselle may have been reading something about COVID and she got really anxious. She's like, you know what? I can't breathe. And with Giselle, by the way, just to let you know, and hopefully this isn't sharing too much personal stuff about her, but she kind of freaks out when she can't breathe through her nose. For example, I tried to get her to go scuba diving because I think it's something she'll really enjoy. And she had some trouble, although she was able to overcome it, but she had some initial trouble only breathing through her mouth. Because when you put on a mask, as you know, you can't breathe through your nose. You got to only breathe through your mouth, whether you're snorkeling or scuba diving. And she had a lot of trouble because of that. So she started freaking out. She was like, oh, you know what? I can't breathe. I feel like, oh my God, you know, she's freaking out. And of course, I gave her a hug. I calmed her down. I said, listen, you're fine. You're a healthy person, which she is. This is okay. You can breathe. Just calm down. She took some valerian root and she started to relax and started to feel better. Now, later that day, right? And this was about, I'm recording this on January 5th. This goes out January 8th. But about 3 or 4 days ago, this is when that happened. But later that day that she had the trouble breathing, I felt like I had a lot of tightness in my chest. And I was like, I can breathe okay. I don't feel it's labor, but I feel like maybe I'm not getting enough oxygen from the air that I am breathing. Now, I didn't have shortness of breath or anything like that, but I was like, I could take deep breaths, but I felt like maybe I was a little short on oxygen, started freaking out. And we ended up going to the emergency room in Brasilia that night. Now, you may or may not know, but Brazil has some great hospitals, especially in Brasilia. Again, it's the capital of Brazil. There's many people who work for the government here. It's not a party city. You know, or you could maybe say every Brazilian city might be a party city, but because Brazilians really love to get together to have a good time, but it's more of a work city. It's more like a Washington, D.C. type of city, right? And so we go to this hospital, we go and Giselle gets checked. So here's a couple of things, just some pointers here. So one of the things they do, whenever you go to the emergency room, they put on a pulse oximeter. So that measures your oxygen saturation in your blood. Giselle's was very high, even though she doesn't exercise that much like I do. Hers was very high. It was like 97, 98, all the way even at 100%, right? And her blood pressure was good. Her heart rate was good. Her temperature was normal. And then my pulse oximeter was like 96%, even though I exercise a lot. Maybe all that marijuana smoking that I did back in my 20s may have damaged my lungs. I've got no idea how to prove that. Something I'm going to be looking into more, but it certainly has to do with your cardiopulmonary system, the combination of how your heart and your lungs work together to get oxygen into your bloodstream. And my resting heart rate was a little bit high. And my blood pressure was through the roof. It was 170 over 90, like 172 over 93, something like that, which, as you may know, is super high. Now, my blood pressure is usually normal, right? 115 over whatever it is, 82 or whatever, 120, you know, but it's never that high. So that's the situation. Now, what I want to talk about now is just I want to wrap things up and talk about what I did. To recover, because now I'm feeling 100%. Well, 98.9%. Let's call it 98%, really. I still got some congestion. Maybe you can hear it. So fast forward, I had a chest x-ray. I had a blood test to rule out any other pathogens. I had an EKG on my heart to look at the QRS waves, to make sure that the electrical activity of my heart was normal, and everything came back fine. Just my blood pressure was super elevated. So everything's fine. And after we went to the doctor, and this was the emergency room rather, we got back probably around midnight. So we went over there probably around 9 p.m. and got out of there around midnight, got back home around midnight. So we're there 2.5 hours. And it was super slow in the emergency room. And what a solid operation. The emergency rooms I've been to are in Miami Beach. Unfortunately, been there more times than I'd like to admit. We're just a madhouse. But this day, New Year's Day, actually, is when we were there. It was normal. I mean, it was slow. So let me talk about some of the lessons that I learned. So I'm back on the mend. Thanks for reaching out and asking if I shared that with you, if you saw that I was sick. Thank you for your well wishes. Thank you for your Christmas wishes and New Year wishes. So let me talk about some of the lessons now that I've shared this story with you. Number one is that this is the thing that so many people don't realize. This is a lesson, and I'm sharing it first. I should probably share it last because it's the thing that nobody wants to talk about. It's a thing that it's hard to even develop the awareness, the self-awareness to realize that this is happening. Or maybe not. Depends on who you are. But the anxiety surrounding this whole coronavirus, this whole moment in time that the world is sharing, it's led to heightened levels of anxiety. And the anxiety is, in my opinion, now I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a medical doctor, I'm not a PhD researcher, but I'll tell you, it's my opinion that the anxiety And there's plenty of data to back up my opinion as well. The anxiety surrounding this whole situation has people on edge and it's exacerbating symptoms. My whole thing was all anxiety related. I could breathe. There was nothing wrong with my lungs. One of the issues with COVID, I don't know if you've read this or not, or you've probably read this, but forgot about it. But one of the issues with COVID is it causes a lot of inflammation in your body. Now, inflammation isn't bad in and of itself, but COVID in particular causes massive levels of inflammation in your body, especially in your lungs. And that is the big issue. And that's what people are dying from. That's why the ventilators. It's the damages your lungs so badly, you can't get oxygen. Your lungs, you breathe in air. Air is a mixture of gases. Your lungs extract oxygen from the air and get it into your bloodstream. And when your lungs are damaged with COVID or smoking or air pollution, your lungs have a hard time doing that. And so you end up not being able to breathe, even though you can breathe. You're breathing air, but you're not able to extract the oxygen from the air because of the inflammation of your lungs and the damage caused by that, more specifically, the damage caused by that inflammation. But none of that was the case, but I still had trouble breathing, and it's because our anxiety is heightened. It's because of the lockdowns. It's because of the politicization that's happening. It's because of all the people arguing and saying COVID is a hoax. And then, no, COVID is something that's real and it's killing everybody, while the truth is somewhere in the middle. It seems to be killing off very unhealthy people, older/unhealthy people. And it's certainly not a hoax. You know, and so many of us are left in the middle and just anxious. We don't know what to believe. We don't know who to listen to. We're not trusting of people's agendas because we know that some people mean well, but they let their emotions get the better of them. Some people don't mean well at all. They just want to push their agenda no matter what. And this goes on both sides, both the mainstream narrative side and also the alternative side as well. It's more similarities at the extremes than we'd like to admit sometimes, even though superficially they look very different, right? So what I want to tell you is one of the key things I've been doing is I've been managing my stress. Now, what does that even mean? Managing my stress means, listen, if I'm scrolling on social media and I'm like on Twitter and you're seeing a lot of people saying things that are triggering a stress response in you or triggering some anxiety, I fucking get out of the app. I stay off of it because it's not helping my health. And one of the big lies about that we tell ourselves is like, no, I got to be informed. But if you're hurting your health, you're raising stress levels just to quote unquote be informed, which is these days really misinformed. What are you really doing? Right? It's more like an itch that you're trying to scratch, but the more you scratch it, it just keeps itching. When the solution, the cure, is to stop scratching. So stop scratching the itch. Stop doing things if you want to achieve better health. And if you want to if you want to have milder symptoms of COVID, if you want to recover faster than from COVID or from other tests, manage your stress. Now, listen, I want to be straight with you. Are there long-term randomized controlled trials, or is there a lot of evidence showing that stress, managing stress, prevents severe cases of COVID? No, because it's a new virus, because the tests are being done, but we're years away from getting that information. So the mainstream health, mainstream health authorities aren't going to come out and say, hey, manage your stress. Actually, CDC does say that, by the way. But what we know right now is that COVID is a virus. It's a coronavirus. It's similar to the flu. Yes, it's according to the best evidence we have, according to the numbers, it's 5 times more deadly than the flu. Again, the numbers are a little crazy, and there'll be more clarity as time goes on, but it seems like it's a lot more deadly. But what we do know is that managing your stress stress hormones affect your immune system. It affects your recovery. There's plenty of research done on this, something that I'm going to be going into later on a separate, on a dedicated episode. I've been knocked out for a while because of my dad's death, because of COVID. And so, but I'm on it this year. I've got big things planned for you. But I want you to understand, this is the part, my point in sharing this with you, right, is we talk a good game about managing stress. We talk a good game about the psychological effects of stress on our health, but we don't really know what that looks like or what that means or even how to evaluate it. And what I want to tell you is one of the big issues with health, the way it's taught, is that we focus on, okay, how much exercise can you do, or what types of exercise can you do? What food should you eat? What vitamins should you take? How much food should you eat? What's the macro distribution of the nutrients you get? Are there some quote unquote superfoods that you should have that can make you healthier? But we don't know how to measure, assess, become self-aware of how our stress affects us, because you can eat all the right things, you can exercise, you can be at a good body weight, but you can be really unhealthy. I know, because I've been there throughout my whole 20s. I had a lot of sleep issues, I had a lot of stress issues, had a lot of relationship issues, and I was ripped and I worked out plenty, arguably too much, and I ate all the right things. I wouldn't even eat at an organic restaurant, eat at any restaurant unless it was organic. And I did that for several years. You know, I'm sure I didn't follow that 100%, but I really followed it much more than I follow that religiously, is what I'll say. So this is the number one thing. We've got to understand how stress, how our environment, how the relationships we have, how our social media usage affects our stress, and how that affects things like our sleep, our anxiety levels, because that is something you can't out-exercise. That's something that you can't eat superfoods for, okay? So that's a major lesson here. I hope you pay more attention to this, because it is truly the future of health is going to involve more talks about the psychology and social aspects of health, not just the stuff that we like to focus on, which is what supplements should I take, what exercises should I do, and what food should I eat. But I have been doing the other things. The other things that I did, by the way, to get back fast. Now, I only had 2 days of bad symptoms. 2 days. Now, the symptoms sucked for 2 days, but they were really, but they were only for 2 days. So I was taking vitamin C. I took a 1,000 milligrams every couple hours. I took 30 milligrams of zinc. The limit is supposed to be 40 milligrams of zinc per day. I took, what else did I take? I took some honey for my cough. Honey has been compared in a few trials against cough syrup, and it works equally as well. And I've been using honey with guaco, which is a Brazilian herb. You may not be able to find it, but if you can, honey with guaco in it, G-U-A-C-O. It's makes the honey taste worse, but it makes it more beneficial for your cough. Now that stuff, like, you know, and I've been getting outside and getting vitamin D. So I've been getting sun exposure, getting vitamin D. So those are the three things that probably you're doing or probably you've heard of what to do. But now let's talk about some of the other things that I don't think people talk about enough. It's my belief, and this is something I talked about when I got sick a couple years ago when I got that bad flu, managing the stress that comes along with the flu. So one of the things that happens for some people is they have heightened levels of stress hormones and have trouble sleeping, maybe from the stress hormones or maybe from the pain that accompanies sinus congestion. So what I did there was I was taking valerian root throughout the day. Now, you could take something like tryptophan that raises serotonin levels and maybe melatonin levels. You could take hydroxytryptophan, 5-HTP, right? You could, but taking something to manage the heightened levels of stress are really important. Now, I took valerian. I also, at night, I take melatonin Now, I don't take melatonin usually, but when I'm sick, I take melatonin. Melatonin, we believe it also boosts your immune system. So I take somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 5 grams. And if I'm honest with you, I just keep popping. I use Source Natural sublingual 1 milligram tablets, and I just keep popping 1 milligram every, say, 30 minutes until I feel like I'm about to sleep. And sometimes I even take it during the day if I feel like my stress hormones are up, right? If I feel stressed throughout the day, like, oh my gosh, because pain, let's say you're experiencing sinus pain like I was, that pain causes stress hormones to increase. So doing things to calm that down are going to help you recover or at least manage the symptoms to allow you to recover better. And I believe, again, this is not controlled research here, but I believe that managing the symptoms helps me recover faster. So I pop melatonin at night, starting, you know, when it gets to be around 8 p.m. or so. Another thing I do, which is really key here, is I measure the effects of what I'm doing with an Oura ring. So I wear an Oura ring. I don't have an affiliate with them. I don't make any money for saying this. They're not paying me to say this, although I would gladly enter into a relationship with them because I love the product so much, but I'm not currently in that in a relationship with them, a business relationship with them. I love my Oura ring. So if you're a person who you're looking, if you're interested in measuring, hey, how am I sleeping? How am I recovering? If you've got sleep issues, get an Oura ring. That's all I can say. It's worth the $300 or $400 that you pay for it. I got the $400 one because I wanted the matte black ring, but the entry level ring is $300. It takes some time to use to get to learn. I've been using mine for like 2 years now. It's incredible. And you can measure the effects because one thing I'll tell you, this is a bit of a tangent, but that's the mindset, the mindset I'm in today, right? I'm still recovering. So I know some of you love my tangents, some of you don't like them, but so many of us, we take things and we don't measure the effects of what we're taking. Now, sometimes that's okay. Like, am I going to take a vitamin C pill and then get my vitamin C levels measured every time to manage my vitamin C levels? No, it's just, that's too much, right? It's too much to do. But we should measure what we can. And the Oura ring measures your sleep quality. It measures your heart rate variability. It measures your resting heart rate. Now, it's not a great measure of heart rate variability, but it is interesting with the information it gives. However, all the things about sleep that it measures, it's just an incredible tool. So that's something that I think is critical because you can look and see, okay, am I sleeping better? Am I recovering well? And I've made a direct correlation. Again, this isn't a hard study that I'm sharing here. It's just my personal experience. I'm a mad scientist. I don't have a PhD and I'm not in the lab, nor will I ever be. But I still think this is valuable information that's useful for you. So I can see, okay, my resting heart rate's coming back down. My sleep is improving. I look at improving my sleep scores. I look on dropping that resting heart rate. And that's how I know that I'm recovering. So measuring things, we're living in a world where we have so much data, it's just crazy not to measure things. So if you're really interested in your health, again, don't have any relationship, professional relationship with Oura, but just, I can't say enough good about the product, although there are some issues with it. Not going to go into it now, but you need to, I'll say this, you need to learn how to use it. And that's what I teach my coaching clients. You got to learn how to use it. And the last thing I'll say is my meditation practice has really come into handy. And this is the last point. And so we're circling back about this managing stress thing, this idea of how to manage stress, and also what I just talked about, how to measure how I'm de-stressing. Because what I find with my clients and with Americans in general, hate to, you know, stereotype an entire country, but Americans are so disconnected, right? They don't know what from what. In other words, like, no, it's like, hey, how do you feel? It's like, oh, I feel fine. It's like, well, why are you limping? It's like, oh yeah, I am limping. Yeah, my knee hurts a little bit. We're so used to disconnecting from what we feel. We're not even taught how to do it. We're so disconnected. And that is a problem. We're disconnected from our bodies. We use our minds all the time. Nothing wrong with using your mind. Nothing wrong with using your brain to, run cost benefit analyses and so on and so forth, and to weigh your options and the pros and the cons. But if you can't connect with your body, you're not using your brain to its full potential. So what meditation allows you to do is to get in touch with how you're feeling. It allows you to create something or cause something called somatic quieting. Now, what does that mean, somatic quieting? It means you may have, for example, when I was sick, I felt my heart was beating harder than usual. I felt the sinus pressure around my forehead area was causing pain. But through my meditation practice, I was able to reduce the sensations of those feelings. Now, how does that work, right? Is that some woo-woo sort of mind over matter type of woo-woo talk? No, it's very, very, very straightforward. Well, I'm sure it's super complicated, but the way I look at it is very straightforward from what I read. So your heart's beating, let's say your heart's beating fast. Let's say you're feeling the pain of your sinuses or something else. What you can do is you start to focus on your breath and you start to systematically relax the muscles of your body and your heart rate. And I've measured this with my Oura Ring, because not only does the Oura Ring measure your sleep, but it also does something, it measures something called your rest. So if I do a meditation and I get into a very deep state of relaxation, it'll show me that, hey, let me even bring one up for you. So it'll show you, hey, you had a rest the other day. And for this, I took a rest at 6:12 p.m. for 28 minutes, and I dropped my resting heart rate to 56 beats per minute. Now, that's pretty good. And it always, my Oura Ring always measures my meditation so I can see, did I really get into a deep state of relaxation? And this is crucial. Again, this idea of measuring things. Because so many of us, and this is what I used to do, it's like, no, I'll lay in bed and watch some TV. And we think we're relaxing. But it's like, well, and Giselle does this, if I, and the Oura Ring has shown me that if I just lay in bed and watch TV, I don't get that relaxation response. It doesn't register on my Oura Ring. It's just, it's not relaxing enough. And so my whole point here is we need relaxation. Let me put it like this. Relaxation and lowering stress is an active. It's not just, oh, I laid in bed or sat on the couch and didn't do anything. That isn't relaxation. Relaxation is proactive. You've got to make sure, you've got to measure it. Your heart rate needs to come down. Your blood pressure needs to come down. You need something measurable to show you that you're actually relaxing. Now, some of you may be able to relax in a very, you know, in that way, just sitting on the couch, but you don't know unless you try measuring it. So if you're having problems with anxiety, if you're having problems with stress, if you feel like your stress levels are higher than normal, start to measure. Now, you don't have to get an Oura Ring. You could measure resting heart rate before and after your relaxation. You could also, before I got my Oura Ring, I would measure my resting heart rate and my blood pressure using a blood pressure cuff, an at-home, an Omron blood pressure cuff. I would measure before and after, and I showed myself consistently that I could lower my resting heart rate and my blood pressure after doing the type of meditation that I do. Okay? So I've thrown a lot at you here. I want to wrap things up now, but my point is this. You've got to be more proactive. If you want to be the best health that you can be, if you want to recover faster from sickness, COVID, or otherwise, you've got to learn how to manage the anxiety and stress that come with our life and that comes with being sick. And most of us think that we're doing a good job. And most of us do the obvious. We pop pills. We pop vitamin C. we, you know, vitamin B, vitamin, you know, zinc, and so on and so forth. And those can help. I'm not going to go into the nuances there, but those can help. But one thing that people don't do, and that this is the future, mark my words, ladies and gentlemen, learning how to manage your stress in this way and learning how to be, learning how to quantify it, right? We don't just say, oh yeah, no, I managed my stress. I took 5 deep breaths. Yeah. Okay. That's not really going to, not that you may feel some somatic quieting by doing that, but that's not really real deal relaxation compared to the amount of stress that so many of us face with careers, with children, with the whole COVID coronavirus quarantine craziness. We need, if we want to be at our best, we need to address this. And it's a huge issue for Americans in general. And this isn't just me talking, it's the stats talking. Suicide, anxiety, depression, they're all up right now. And I know you're feeling it. We're all feeling it. But I want to tell you, there's a way to, those are feelings and they're not good or bad. They're not wrong to feel, but you can manage them so that you can get back to your life or so that you can recover from, you know, this situation, the stress of this situation, or if you actually get sick. But I'll tell you one other thing, the time to start is now. So look into an Oura Ring if you've been visiting the Oura Ring website and you've been reading about it, but haven't quite pulled the trigger. Pull the trigger if you feel that it's right for you. It's a worthy investment. If you can't spend $300 on yourself, but you spend, you know, $500 a month on your car, you're doing it wrong. Okay. Or you spend, you spend a couple $100 a month or $100 a month on supplements and don't have an Oura Ring, but you want an Oura Ring, you're doing it wrong. Okay. So, you know, start to measure things, start to play with things, start to be results oriented in your life. This is one of the major things that I teach my coaching clients, and it changes their life. So if it doesn't sound profound to you, it's because you don't quite understand it, not because what I'm teaching doesn't really make sense. Sorry to say that, but it's true. And it's something I consistently hear from my clients. I change their lives, and it's really not me. They change their lives through these principles that I teach. So that's it for me. A lot of tangents, a little bit of rambling, a waffling, as they say across the pond or in Australia, but I'm showing up for you the best way I can. I love you. Hope you're having an awesome New Year's, as awesome as it can be with the circumstances given. Love you lots, and I will speak to you on Monday.